AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Everyone in our country has a voice. It's something that says not just where you come from, but who you are. Welcome to NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of podcasts and a celebration of the hosts in journalism who've always spoken truth to power. Our voices are as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as the Black experience, and stories should never be about us without us. Find NPR Black Stories, Black Truths on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, My Son, the General.
We are your hosts of TMI.
Tamika and My Son's information, truth, motivation, and inspiration.
New name, new energy, but...
same old us.
What's going on, My Son Lennon?
It is Taurus season.
What? Is that what's going... that's, you know...
yeah, that's what's happening. Oh. It's Taurus season right now. Shout out to all of my Taurus, my fellow Tauruses. You know,
Taurus.
we run this shit. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Because we're going to party all year.
Oh, please.
All month long.
Oh, please.
Not for real. But it's Taurus season.
It is Taurus season.
And it's also, May is a real tough month for me. You know, because my mother's birthday is in May and it's Mother's Day. So it's like, you know,
Patricia.
This would be... 2 years that she's been gone.
2 years.
2 years she's been gone. And so it's rough. It's like bittersweet. I celebrate my birthday. And then I go celebrate her birthday and Mother's Day for her. So, you know, working on that, man.
That's deep.
It is.
It's deep. Recently, my mom had to have a surgery. And, you know, there's a whole story around it, which I won't get into today. But... I just was sitting with what it would look like to be motherless. You know, it's like, whoa. So I truly feel for you and others who have lost your moms. And, you know, I don't know, as a mom, I realize how much I am needed and how much I need my mother.
Well, yeah.
Good. Both, all your, you know, your parents are like, bruh, like, parents. I don't know if I appreciated parents as much as I do now.
Yeah.
Like, now that I'm in a different phase of parenting, especially the phase of having a grandchild. Because when you a parent yourself, just you as a parent, you got so much shit going on when you're young. Like, 18, 19 it's years old, you just like, you don't even know. It doesn't, when you have a grandchild as an adult, you really are like, and you get to see your kids doing some of the same crazy stuff that you used to do.
It's a lot. It's very... It's a lot. Watching your kids do crazy
stuff. Be parents. And you have to remember that, like, you were that age.
Watching my son be a parent is very strange.
The way that they do things.
It's very, very
great, weird. Better parents than us.
They though. Are. They're very intentional and very, like, he loves his son. He's very hands-on with his son. But just watching him want the things from him that he wouldn't give to me.
What? I don't understand.
He wants his kid to listen.
Oh.
When he wasn't going to listen. Uh-huh. You understand what I'm saying? So he has this energy that, come on, Kasan, you need to do this or do this. And you wasn't going to do none of the stuff that you telling him to do.
Well, but you know what? Like, what I mean is that my son will carry my granddaughter outside to go a far distance. I'm not talking about, like, downstairs and around the corner. But he's going, like, to the grocery store, to the whatever, wherever. With no stroller. Like, things like that, to me, I think that's crazy because I think of the safety issue. She needs to be strapped in. And I watched her on FaceTime the other day go into the Target, Walmart, wherever it is. And as soon as he's trying to handle his business while she's running around, she took her hand and put it behind all the beauty supplies and knocked everything down on the floor. And then he's like, why did you do that? Because you don't have her in a stroller. What is wrong with
you? She has free reign.
She's just doing her. And I'm like, and then I have to remind myself, you cannot critique everything. Sometimes you just gotta miss a few things.
You reminded yourself that?
Listen, I'm just telling you that, yes.
Wow. Very interesting.
What do you mean?
No, I'm just saying it's very interesting that you think reminded that yourself.
You can't critique everything.
Okay.
But I've told you the same thing about Nassan, that, like, you can't have the expectations of him to be 40 years old when he's 20-something.
It's just certain things that I think... The space that I am in, watching the youth, the 20-plus-year-olds, is that I don't think they have common sense.
What? No, for real. They just operate off
I just think
vibes.
Operate off a vibe, and it's do. Like, where's the common sense? Because like, I be sitting here, and because I hate to be, like you said, I hate to just critique, and people be like, yo, his mother call me, you need to tell your son, and you need, and I be like, I'm tired of just doing that. Right, I don't want to just keep. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. Why don't you call him? And say, no, he's your son, and you're the dad. You need to say, and I don't want to. And sometimes when I be hearing the shit that happens, I be like,
or the things that he said, or the things that they say to us. It's
and
like
you be
what?
Like, you really thought that made sense?
But you have to remember, they're much more creative than us. They're much more. They come
they
from
are.
A mindset. They're listen. Even though they make different decisions. I feel like these kids are faster than
no, they
we
are.
Were.
They have a lot access to way more than we have, so they're a lot faster. And that's why, to me, I think they don't have to use common sense. I understand the ramifications of certain things, right? Like, I watch kids, right? They walk around with open containers outside. The police is going to pull you over. Like, I wasn't going to do shit. Like, we used to stay in the house. Or we was outside, we had the bag. Like, we did shit to try to stay away from trouble. These kids just act like.
But the world has changed. They can smoke weed outside now.
Yeah,
we couldn't do that
before.
But
that's why it makes no. Because I'm saying, like, it's easier for you to do shit and not get in trouble now. It's way easier. They give you all, okay, just do this. They don't want to just do nothing. They just like, fuck it.
You work with a lot of young people, so you.
Yeah,
know.
And I just be
and you're blessed. You're blessed because. Your son is not anywhere of the sort. He ain't out here banging.
No, he's not a dumb kid.
He ain't out here.
Sometimes I question, like,
how he processes
yes, things, but yes, he's not dumb. Yes, he's very smart. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't just do stupid shit. He's not a person that just does stupid shit. But, you know, sometimes I question decisions. But I take, what I do, I chalk it up to to youth. Because I'm like, maybe somebody was saying this about me. I remember my grandfather used to look at me and say, y'all don't make no damn sense to me. What's wrong with you? So I remember he just said, I used to laugh, but I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. You know, so, but it's cool.
Now we at the age where we know.
I get it.
So, yeah, parenting, grandparenting
is very
important. I know a lot of grandparents that's outside, you know, because I'm a little outside, but it's a different kind, but a little bit. But I know a lot of grandparents that's outside, and they feel like, I raised my kids. I don't need to be bogged down with another, you know, child. But actually, it's really important because, to your point, it's like layers of people needing to, in, like, be there to guardrails. Imagine if my parents had to, your grandmother had to be present to help.
Yes, ma'am. She had to. Because it was a lot going on. She had to be present. So, and we recognized that. Like, they were pillars in our life, you know, so.
Please, pay attention to your grandkids.
Please.
I'm cracking up.
Your grandkids.
These people, these kids, they really are different. Very anyway. Much. Let's see. So today, for my thought of the day, it is not funny at all. I think I'm living in the Matrix. I really do. I think if there is a such thing as living in the Matrix, it is happening in my life in this moment. Because I feel like I have a third eye. Like, I can see things that other people just seem to not be able to see. And so I see people I listen to people that talk to me all around, and not just on social media, but people who talk to me, like family members and friends, and they're like, yo, y'all focused on the wrong thing. That protested and all of that, the movement, the marching, the this, all of that stuff, man, that stuff is passe. Man, even people who are like, man, Trump, man, I'm with Trump. I'm, you know, all that. And I'm like, okay. Now, I'm watching these people, these folks that are in many ways in opposition to our success as Black folks. Mm-hmm. I watch how strategic they are. These people are actually brilliant at what they do. So the other day, I'm reading something that describes a word. And I'm not going to use that word today because I don't want to get caught up in that. But they describe a word. And they have completely changed the meaning of the word. And found a way to make the word bad when the people who created it said it for a good reason. Right? So then I start like comparing other words. I'm like, when we said Black Lives Matter, they said that is violent towards white folk and white people needed to start White Lives Matter. When we said defund the police, knowing good and damn well that defunding and abolish are two different things, never said that we don't need public safety. What we said is that the budgets are overblown and we need to take money from the policing and put it towards mental health and housing and food security and education, right? We said we believe that police are doing too many jobs. They got to show up at a household where there's a domestic violence dispute and try to get involved in that. And we think that there should be other people that could go out and do those jobs. And we know because, you know, if you look at Newark, New Jersey, where Mayor Ross Baraka is actually implementing what it looks like to defund the police, it's working. Like, it is working. Yes, you still have violent incidents, but the numbers, we went to the meeting a few weeks ago where we looked at how much crime is down and violent incidents, especially shootings, is down because they are deploying mental health experts and others to go out with the police and work in partnership with them.
That's right.
We said defund the police. They said we don't want police at all and we want lawlessness, and that defund the police means we hate the police. Then the Palestinian people have been saying from the river to the sea, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, which means basically all the way from one side of that strip that they live on, not the Gaza Strip, but the entire Israel's Palestine, however we want to frame it, that they want their people to be free all the way from the river to the sea. That means literally from one side to the other. They want to be free. They said it means kill the Jews. I mean, what are you talking about? They have turned woke all around. DeSantis has an anti-woke movement going on. They have presented bills to ban wokeness. How, I don't even know what that means, but this is actually a thing. Every single word, terminology, whatever we use to describe suffering, to describe what people are fighting for, liberation, they have found a way to turn it around and make even our own people afraid to use it.
That's right.
Afraid to use it. And it's like right it's in front of your face. It's a very good strategy.
The people who created it, what it was, you know, actually meant to do, that's what it's still meant to do.
Right. So
if it's just like somebody going outside screaming, LeBron James, and he shoots somebody. LeBron James ain't a killer. The word LeBron James is not bad because he got a LeBron James jersey on.
Right.
LeBron didn't cause the murder. He didn't cause the person to do it. So this is a strategy that they're able to use to diminish the value of all of our movements. That's how they derail our movements with anything. They use the same thing. They take the tactics and they change the words and make them negative, and they make it into something that you're doing wrong. Then they attack the leaders and say the leaders stole. It is
a very, very, very strong strategy that is being used. And when I thought about all those words and I thought about how they have been able to turn woke around, defund police around,
Black Lives Matter
around. But what is interesting to me is that when a person says White Lives Matter, by the way, White Lives Matter was not created for a white liberation movement. It was created in a direct response to Black Lives Matter, and it was actually created to overshadow, to silence, to diminish the need for the Black Lives Matter movement, right? And so when I think about that, I should just be, which in some ways I am, I should be scared when I see you coming saying White Lives Matter. I should be concerned for my life because I know the intention of it and where it began.
I know it's actually how it was derived.
Nonetheless, they will tell you
that
just because someone says White Lives Matter, it does not mean that they're racist. So on one side, they will never demonize. You will never watch or see on mainstream media that they are using certain terms or they're saying like White Lives Matter or something like that, that it means violence towards Black folks. But I am literally watching and listening to mainstream media make all these other terms that were created and designed by an oppressed people to speak to their cause. They are criminalizing and demonizing those words. It is literally happening. And I feel like...
And they tricked us to actually believe it.
Because you are scared to use the word radical. If somebody says you're radical, you out here like, oh, that means, oh, you violent.
It means you ready to kill.
You ready to shoot to kill. And instead, it means that you are really... You're talking about a severe and significant shift. So if I say, and I have embraced, yep, I'm radical in my beliefs around what should happen for Black folks in this nation, for Africans here or in America. I have radical beliefs about how that shift should take place. They will say that when I use the word radical, it means that I want people to pick up arms. And the crazy thing is that we have never, ever, we kill one another more than we've ever killed people who have oppressed us. What is... Explain it to me.
You explain it just fine.
No, but I...
It's a strategy. It's like what they call the narcissist, right? They make you believe that you did everything wrong. Everything is your fault. They don't have any fault in anything. Everything is you attacking them. You're the issue.
Right. But I guess my thought of the day is around this idea that I hope people are not being dismissive and just believing that, oh, well, we don't need to be connected to that system anyway, and we don't need that terminology. I've had Black people tell me, well, when y'all say defund the police, that's bad words. You know, that mean what they gonna do, they gonna kill us in our neighborhoods. Well, I'm not safe, so defund the police, that's dangerous for our communities. Meanwhile, when you break it down and you say, well, actually, it means that you'll have more. Do you need mental health services? Do you need jobs? Do you need food equity and food security, rather? Do you need opportunities? And then they say, oh, well, yeah, we need that. Well, guess what? In New York by itself, in New York alone, $6 billion and more, depending on what the overtime money is going towards policing. So what we're saying is, rather than either increasing that budget or somehow, you know, or stabilizing it at $6 billion, why don't we have some after-school programs? That make you feel, oh, okay, so you saying you agree with that. You like that idea. You saying, yeah, oh, you know what, actually, I do like that. So, okay, cool. So that's why we said defund police. Oh, well, I think you got to change the term. But the reason why you want the term changed is because when you're watching CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and all these other networks that are ran by and used as a tool of divisiveness and a tool to continue to prop up white supremacy. Don't tell me because it's MSNBC and it's CNN and they got liberal folks on there that somehow it's different. No, I have watched the same networks that are supposed to be so liberal peddle in helping to advance the cause of white supremacy. I've watched it happen. And so when you hear them saying it, when you hear them criminalizing and demonizing our people and our movements, you eventually, it gets into your psyche and you start repeating the same stuff that you're hearing when you're getting dressed for work in the morning on your favorite news station.
That's right.
And it's I feel like, am I the only one that notices that every time a term is created that properly represents us? You can't, Black Lives Matter? The Black Lives. Look, I'm like Mama D. One day I was watching Mama D, Scrappy's mother, talk doing something. And she was like, the Black Lives, they do. They matter. They do. And that's right. The Black Lives do matter. So why are you so scared on your job to say it in a meeting or to put it on in a deck? Why? Because now they told you DEI is like a bad word. Ooh. Everything. And you're going with it.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion. Three words that. There's no
diversity in all places and spaces. Equity means our fair share. And inclusion means you can't have anything without us because we built it. So if my money is how Sony, there's cameras in here from Sony. If my money is how they make trillions of dollars, I'm a part of that. I'm not saying I'm the whole pie, but I'm a big part. I got $1.4 trillion. Anybody that comes to the table with $1.4 trillion when they meeting, right? Like, you just think of it. We in this room, and everybody in here comes to the table. So I got $2.7 trillion. You got $1.4. I got 20, even 20 million. I might be on the low end. And we all going to put it in. Do we not get a percentage of the business deal? Or do you just take the money and then say, well, I don't have to give you a decision-making position?
Welcome to America.
So inclusion means that, and that's a bad term.
Oh, yeah.
And you because you're
trying to be included
them.
With the people stuff that excluded you from the beginning? Anyway, come on now.
Good night.
And now we can trick y'all into believing that you don't even need to be included because you got your own boots and you can build your own stuff with nothing. You can just build it. You gonna make it just grow
well,
out of
no,
nothing.
Well, some people would say building it means that the billionaires. So the Jay-Z's of the world.
Yeah, but that's what
and then
you've
they
already,
should they should they
yeah,
should
but that
pay
ain't
for
happening.
It.
That's not gonna happen like that.
What do you mean? I mean, well, that's the point. The point is that if Jay and whoever else, or I don't know who the black billionaires are, Robert Smith and Oprah and whoever, Tyler Perry, all these people take their money and divest.
That would be beautiful.
It would be.
But it's not realistic because it hasn't happened. And we've been saying that for the last, since we had black billionaires and millionaires, we've been saying it. Those things don't happen. So what you have to do is get the like-minded individuals to have money, to be in positions, to be able to collectively
so
do that.
So that they can do it because you're putting all of that pressure.
On people that's not what they do.
Well, and to Jay's point, he built Tidal and the people like Apple. They like Apple Music. They don't. They don't want to be on title. Nope. So this is like when you try to be like, okay, we're going to build this superpower. The thing is, you will never hear mainstream media pump it and promote it and advertise.
And we won't promote our own media.
Right. And then there's that, right? So even still, we're saying we won't promote it. So we're putting all the onus on ourselves when if we watch the machine knows how to make what it believes in. Yeah. The machine knows how to prop up certain things. So they will put on, you'll see advertisers working with a Roland Martin, right? Like you'll see, he wouldn't have to be on every day he on the internet talking about how all these people have these huge advertising budgets for car companies and stores and tech companies, and yet the budget for African American media and other cultural media is almost non-existent.
Fair.
Why do he has to say that all the time? And then here you come, JoJo from at JoJo, I'm cute, I'm hot.com, talking about we don't need that. We don't need no money from no car company. We need to build our own cars.
And you ain't got a clue to how to build it. And it's just, it's rhetoric. And it's just like, I don't even listen to it no more.
The punching of the women in the face on the trains.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay, so here's my question, right? So this has been reported recently that a lot of women, all different races as well, have been being assaulted by people who may have mental illness. I assume they have mental health issues. A lot of them have also been houseless, and they've been assaulted. And one of the things that they are doing is punching women in their faces or punching them in their body. I just wanted you to answer this one question for me. If all these people are in different spaces, different places, how they all know to do the same thing?
Well, it's just like copycat shooters and all that, right? They start seeing shit on the internet.
And people they on the internet. So you're saying the houseless person.
Yeah, the internet is everywhere.
Living on a train.
They listen to the news. They see it on the news. Somebody talk about it. They want to join into it.
I don't know. I feel it's a conspiracy. Somebody in Brooklyn who doesn't have, you don't know, how do we know that they have social media? Like, why?
But how do you know they don't?
Because maybe
not houseless. All of them are. Some of them have mental issues and they not houseless. Maybe they saw somebody else do it. Maybe they just seen something. And then there's a lot of people. There are mental health situations where people just attack individuals.
Yeah, but it's the way that they're specifically doing it to women, and it's happening.
I think it's a copycat thing. I think if you're asking me, I think people
copycats usually, as far as I know, copycats are people who, like, literally are studying, like they're sitting.
No,
studying,
it's not so much studying. They might be just see it on TV and decide they're going to follow the thing. I mean, there are people that study behavioral patterns. You talking about copycat killers and all. I'm talking about somebody that's just copycatting, seeing some negative shit and assessing it with their own mental issues and just applying it. You think they just sending people out there to do it?
I don't know what's happening, but I'm just trying to say, I don't see how all of these, it'd be different. If you said young men ages 25 to 30 have been doing XYZ, then I could see that as a large pool of people. But based, and maybe the media is not reporting it properly, but based upon the way in which they're describing it, it is a particular group of people that I'm trying to figure out how they are coordinated to do this every day. 2 and 3 and 4 people are being punched specifically.
I'm telling you, I see it on the news. If you walk by a store where TVs is on, you see it on the news, somebody punching them in the face. Like, it's, I don't even look for it, and it comes across my timeline.
Wow. That's to me, it's like we're living in a society in general where the places you can go and the freedoms that we have is just shrinking and shrinking and shrinking, especially for women, because it's very unsafe. Like it's, and I'm not saying just in New York. I'm talking about just anywhere you go, neighborhoods and places and spaces that you used to be able to freely go into have changed. Some people can't even go to Walmart without a white woman asking you who ain't security or nothing else, and she want to know about your shopping cart and why you have certain things in it. You can't even park your car outside of a store without Janie deciding that you shouldn't be parked there or your car is crooked. I mean, like, we're living in a time where everything we do, especially as Black folks, is just too many people that are trying to encroach upon our space, that are trying to cause us some type of pain.
It's a lot.
It's too much.
It is too much. And as we move on, we're going to have my music spotlight today. And my music spotlight comes, it's a young artist, and I think he's from Louisiana. His name is Young Ro. I think he's signed to Meek Mill's label, but he has this new freestyle that really, like, touched me, and it's called Real Friends. It's on the radar. It's like a new freestyle place. So I want y'all to go check that out. Young Ro, his Instagram is Y-U-N-G-R-O 777, and the freestyle is called Real Friends. It's got a lot of views on it, and he's talking some real stuff. So
what is he talking about?
He's talking about real friends. He's talking about things that your friends do for you and how we grew up together, and I got your back, and you got my back, and anytime. And he's breaking down how your real friend don't fall out with you over nothing. If your friend fall out with you over something that wasn't there, that was never your friend in the first place. And if you ain't got something, you could sleep in my bed, I sleep on the floor. Like, it was real deep.
Wow. I like nasty. That now you on my street. People from Louisiana have a story, boy, I tell you. All right, well, listen, let's go to our guest. We're still in this Bonding of the Sexes series. And the next guest I'm quite excited about because he talks stuff. He talks stuff. So we're continuing Bonding of the Sexes, not Battle of the Sexes. It's Bonding of the Sexes. And while we may be talking about our differences.
Might be bondage. So is that going to be part of
what do you mean?
That?
It's bond. What?
Is that going to be one of the topics? Bondage?
Bondage? Bonding. So you want to have a different conversation.
No, I'm just saying.
You said bonding. You want a real bonding. TMI show.
No, I'm just saying. You said bonding. Bondage. I was like, I don't know if that's one of the topics.
I said bonding. Okay. So we're going to keep it in line with Bonding of the Sexes. And as you know, we said last week, we are really trying to be intentional about the language. And, you know, Battle of the Sexes, of course, we see enough of that on the internet and in the media, that Black folks, we ain't together in our relationships, we ain't together in our communities, we just ain't together. And I think we have to be intentional about, you know, just trying to look at it from a different perspective. It does not mean that there are not differences and that there are not some things that we see on social media and in the media that's real. Like, you know, there's some people out here that you don't want to deal with. Business-wise, relationship-wise, that's just what it is.
It just is what it is.
But I think, you know, what we see sort of developing in the media is a narrative that makes me feel very, very nervous, especially in an election season. I think that there is an attempt to make us look like we have two different needs, and, you know, the women and the men, we have two different interests, when really our communities as a whole, that includes all Black folk and all Black folks' struggles and all of our desires to be successful, that all has to be a part of our everyday conversation. And so Bonding of the Sexes, we talking about everything. We talking about the whole, but we are not talking about bondage.
Okay.
Maybe bondage from a perspective that you feel trapped, but not the kind of bondage that made me think of. So, no.
Okay.
Maybe it's just me. So, today, our guest, Bishop Greg Davis. I found this gentleman on the internet because of all of his inspirational and sometimes ouch moments. Some of the things that Bishop posts make me go, ooh, ow, that hit me directly. And then I found out that some of my friends are his friends in the ministry. And I said, oh, okay, so this now is my guy. A TV and radio host, a relationship coach. He has a massive platform on YouTube with his show, When the Right One Comes. I need to be talking about that when the right one comes. And, you know, on Instagram, he's really become a go-to personality for relationship advice, who can really speak to more of the inspiration that is needed to kind of keep, you know, keep us on the right track. So I'm glad to have my new friend, Bishop Greg Davis, to join us on TMI. Thank you for being with us today.
What's going on, y'all? Good to be here. Thankful to be here with you all, and I'm still stuck on bondage, but
it's you and me.
Well, listen, man, I heard we were talking about relationships. She said bonding, and then it just was like a little.
Yeah, I understand why you can hear that differently.
You know, so
that's how you say it. I understand how you can hear that differently.
So Bishop,
see, that's the whole thing. Men and women, they hit things differently. He started it off just right.
There you go. Let's talk about it, Bishop. That's what I'm talking about. So how long have you been? You've been doing this for the last 8 years, right?
Actually, been doing it 14 years. I've been divorced. I was married 20 years, and I started by just a tweet. There was no Instagram then. I did a tweet, and I said, I was healing. In order to find the right one, you have to become the right one. And I tried to stop tweeting from there. And ever since I've been on this road, and that's what I call it. I let people take the journey with me, even in my own thoughts, relationships, people's DMs that they send me. And so that's how I got in. Then during COVID, of course, we were in the house. I was doing my television show on the Word Network, and I had time to do my thing, and I developed it more. Four books later on relationships, and When the Right One Comes has become a movement. Every day at 3 o'clock, I do something online or Clubhouse. And so that's how I got started.
Wow. So When the Right One Comes. So you decided to start being a coach after you got divorced?
Absolutely. Wow. I believe that we heal our pain. We help others heal their pain through our own pain. And, you know, a lot of times in our darkest moments, we birth some of the greatest things to help others, even through our own pain. And me and my ex-wife, we were married 20 years. We didn't have any infidelity. There was no cheating man or woman on either one of our parts. You got to say both. And we're actually still good friends. We grew apart. Ministry, the thing that I love the most, building the organization with Bishop Morton, Full Gospel, and churches and planning churches and family and friends and members and television and radio. That's what killed us. We did all that together and have no regrets. That's the crazy part. But we didn't take enough time for ourselves, and we grew apart. We've done podcasts on it, and we talk about it in our own individual lives, but that's how I birthed When the Right One Comes.
Now, I heard you say the Word Network, which is, you know, a network that focuses on faith and religion and church life and pastors being able to, you know, interview people on all types of topics. And I've been on the Word Network with Pastor Jamal Bryant and others. Then I heard you say the ministry. And I know that for 35 years, you are heavily engaged in your own ministry. And I am just trying to understand or to sort of reconcile, because sometimes when I listen to your content, it's so much more real than what I have heard from some pastors that don't like to talk about the real of relationships because of how they will be perceived and judged. So tell me about how you crossed into being like, I'm not going to let someone think that just because I am a man of the cloth that I can't talk about bondage. That's like a theme of the show today.
Right. Look what he started. I was in bondage. That's why.
So tell us about that. How did you become free enough to say, hey, I'm going from this to that? And it's one of the same.
Yeah. You know, it'll be 38 years actually this October that I start preaching. And I got free when I actually, last time I went to the house and talked to my ex, and I was getting some things from there. And I looked in the rearview mirror, and this is no lie. This is not just a preaching point or a talking point. I looked in the rearview mirror and I said, I'm going to live life at my own beat, in my own rhythm. I discovered the next holiday, which was Memorial Day, that everybody didn't stand around the barbecue pit at home and that people were free. And I started living life according to what God spoke to me, not in the confines. Now, understand, I helped start. I'm considered one of the founding fathers of Full Gospel, which is Bishop Paul Morton's organization. Mm. And so I know the system of church and religion, but I took a detour. And, you know, my whole theme is putting the oil of joy, pouring the oil of joy into the world. And I'm doing that just through another whole avenue. And Word Network helped me because actually me and Pastor Jamal talked about this during COVID. I didn't suffer and go through because this is what I do for 16 years. I was on Christian television. So I got freed. You know, I came out of bondage. Mm. That two things everybody wants, you guys. They want money and sex, and nobody wants to talk about it. Mm. And so I talk about money, I talk about sex, I talk about relationship. I'm totally against 50-50 in relationships. I had a thing that went viral about that. And so I'm free. I don't pastor a church anymore. And I'm glad I'm free to do it how I want to do it. And it's freed other people. I noticed there's a lot of people. 14 years ago, a lot of preachers weren't talking about a relationship. Now that's the buzz thing, talk about a relationship. So I'm just free and comfortable with me and comfortable with my story. You tell your story, nobody else have to tell it. Mm. So I'm free.
Do you get a lot of controversy and backlash for?
Oh, I do. What you do? I do, but I don't read the comments. You know what? It's more good than bad. I think we pay attention to two or three people, and I always notice the people that comment. They're not doing anything, so I've learned not to pay attention to what people say. And again, it's only a few. I have pastors and bishops and apostles and prophets that call me for advice. And let me say this, and I'm not ashamed to say it. A lot of them, they want to do what I did, but they're afraid of losing everything they had. I wasn't afraid. I heard somebody, I think it was Jamal, he said, as long as I had a Bible again to start over again, then I didn't care about starting over again. And it worked for me. And understand this, y'all. I went through divorce while hosting Word Network's anchor show. Public divorce, literally public divorce. And so if I could get through that while on television, then I can get through anything. So I'm free.
That's the beautiful thing. You sound very comfortable. And I know it has to have been a transition. So you've been divorced for how long now?
14 years.
Are you currently in a relationship or are you single?
I'm single. I've been single for about a year. I was in a relationship and I've been single for about a year. I'm single, single.
Single, single.
Yeah.
Because we were trying to figure that out.
Like, ain't nobody going to get on here and say he lying.
How do we define single? Is it just not married? Is it, like, some women, and I'm one of them, that I guess I'm 44, so, you know, now as an old lady, almost, I feel like I'm single because I'm not married. But is that real or is it?
No, that's real.
Okay.
How do you file your taxes single, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I believe you're not single until somebody puts a ring on it. And even then, that's still debatable until you get to the altar. So I believe you're single. Now, you're single with a commitment to somebody, mm-hmm. but you're still single. Mm-hmm. You're in a relationship with somebody, but you're not married. And I think that's part of the issue a lot of men and women have. They act like they're husbands and wives before they even get married. You're still single. Mm-hmm. And pay attention even while you're in a relationship because it just may not go the full distance. And that's all right. I think sometimes we're more excited about the wedding than the marriage. Mm-hmm. And we don't think about the marriage. And you got to wake up next to that person and say, I's married
oh,
now.
Oh, Lord, he on your street.
He always, I mean, because I realize that, like I say, all of this is a common theme that a lot of people are in love with the fantasy of the marriage, not the reality
right.
of it.
Right. Right. No. Not Tamika, don't, especially women.
Women. That's usually what I say, but I didn't want to make it sexy.
Oh, we're going to get along just fine. let me tell you something. Women are excited about the whole pageantry of the wedding. But never think about the work after the wedding. And men do too, but women, you know, we always say that the wedding is for the woman more so than the man. Sometimes men don't really care, you know, but they do it for the woman. But at the end of the day, there's more than a wedding, because I've seen some big weddings, and the next morning they questioning what they've done. So was it Good Deeds? That was one of my favorite movies by Tyler Perry, because him and Gabrielle, they decided, hey, we love each other, but not enough to do this. And he freed himself. And I think that a lot of people need to do that. They're walking around in bondage.
Around in bondage. I mean, you know, on our show with Kendra G, we were talking about how many people are like, you know, I guess it's this idea of settling. Like, you want somebody who can help you pay your bills, take care of your kids, those things. And you might not actually be happy, but you'll stay with this person because they are able to provide these one or two very important things that you may need. And meanwhile, your fulfillment in life is being shortchanged. Are you finding through your conversations with people that it's more of that, or more people who are really truly just happily married or happily in a relationship?
I'm finding more and more people are settling for the things that make them comfortable when they are going to have regrets later on. I talk to a lot of people, they have regrets now because they're afraid to be single, number one. There's this thing that nobody wants to, they think it's an indictment. They think it's jail time to be single, when it's actually the best time, because you get to know yourself. You get to do what you want to do. You get to work on yourself. You can flew yourself out instead of waiting for somebody to flew you out. You can take yourself to dinner, a table for one. You can do all those things instead of feeling like God has forgotten about you. He hasn't forgotten about you. It's time to get you together. Enjoy you. You ain't got nobody to tell you that you can't eat that, you can't go there, you can't travel now, you can't go with the boys, you can't go with the girls, you can't do what you want to do. So enjoy it. And I believe if you do some of those things that I just said, enjoy yourself, you'll meet the right one at some of those places. Just like Stella got her group back and went on her own thing, you can do the same thing. But we live in a culture that we gotta have somebody. If I don't have somebody by a certain time, and women do this a lot, that time clock that they put in their head, and that comparison is the killer of any destiny and any dream in your life. So you compare and looking at your girlfriend because she married and all your friends are married, and you want to rush, and then you grab a food and you don't even understand that they're not as happy as you think they are.
Exactly.
So yeah, there's too many people that's in a rush to get to the altar, and at the same time they're on their way to the divorce court because they didn't choose right. One of my biggest issues, all right, this is what I talk about a lot, has been the bad choices. They're not bad people, but they're bad choices for me.
I was about to ask that question. What do you think is like the biggest problem facing relationships? Like, being a coach, what do you see like the number one issue?
In a hurry, in a rush, time clock. I got to do it. I got to have a baby before a certain age. I got to get married. Men do it because they want that woman that looks good for their career. Or preachers do it because they want that right first lady. A business owner, he needs somebody to help him with his business, because for me, I'm not looking for a wife or a partner to help me do what I'm doing. Of course, I'm at a different place in my life. I'm established and all that, but I'm looking for somebody now. I had that for 20 years. We worked together to build, but right now I'm looking for somebody to love me and I can love them back.
Do you think that not having as much of a focus on the business aspect is sort of like, are you saying that you're just at a point in your life where that's not as important because you are so successful? Or are you saying that regardless, you were looking for love, period?
When we talk about help meet, Kamika, when we talk about help meet, every man has to decide what that looks like for him. Where for me, a help meet is somebody I just need to say, baby, that was good. You did great today. I don't need anybody. I have people that I pay to do the stuff that I do. I don't need a woman to be involved in the business part. Like for 20 years, she was, all right? Because I'm established. I need somebody to love me, to help push me, and I can do the same. Now, I'm not saying She don't have to be a boss, and she's doing what she do. But for me, that's not the help meet I need. Somebody else may need to help me to give them wisdom. Somebody else may need to help me to help run the business, to help do the checking and the accounting and all that stuff. That's not what I need. I'd rather pay people and enjoy that person than for that person to be right by my side in business with me. That's where I'm at. So every man needs to decide, where does this help me fit? Where does my rib fit into my life? Because it doesn't look the same. We try to do cookie cutter relationships, and it's not the same. One, hey, somebody that's 30 or 40, that's what they may need for their life. Somebody in their 20s, where I was, may need that person where we climbing together. I'm not climbing. You hear what I'm established. So I got people around me to help do, because I'm successful now. Now don't get me wrong. A woman here with me will give me favor, all right? But I don't need it in the area that a lot of men need it in. So you got to know what you need a woman in your life for and a man in your life for. I did a podcast with Coach Stormy yesterday. And you know her, Tamika.
Yeah, I love her.
She's very successful, all right? She need a different type of man. She don't need a man for money. Mm-hmm. Some women that got it all they want is companionship and love. They don't need nobody to be involved in their business. So you got to figure out while you're single, those that are watching, figure out what you need before you grab them and make sure you know you, because then you got to know you and the person that you're getting to know. And that don't work.
I think for me, when I pay attention, when I listen to people talk about relationships and marriage and all these things, I think one of the biggest things I hear are unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. Can you speak on that?
I think that we ask for more than we can give in a lot of people. And a lot of people do. They ask for more. A woman wants a high-value man. Mm-hmm. Okay? Talked about this yesterday, too. I was interviewing Willie Moe Jr. We talked about this. Mm-hmm. Wants a high-value man, but can you handle what you're asking for? That's really what you're saying. Can you handle what you're asking for? Because can you handle, you know, being blogged about or vlogged or somebody seeing y'all out and then it's a story? Can you handle that? Can you handle the man still being at work, or the woman being at work until 11 o'clock at night and they're doing their thing? Can you handle Tamika being somewhere saving somebody's lives and marching somewhere and ain't coming home for 2-3 days? Or you, my brother, whatever you do, can you handle what you're asking for? Because you can sit there and say, oh yeah, because you like the person, but you may not fit for their dream. Mm. You may not fit for their purpose. You may not be a good fit for who they are to the public. You like them privately, just the opposite. But can you handle all that comes with them? So we have false expectations of what we can handle from somebody. Somebody that's a doctor or a lawyer or a nurse or whatever, to get, who works long hours, can't handle it. And let me say this. Miles Monroe did a thing, and I love him, but I don't totally agree with it. And he said, you give a woman anything and she'll multiply it. And some women will tear it up. Mm. Some brothers will tear up what you're building. So you got to make sure what you're placing your vision in, whose hands you're placing your vision and sharing your life with, because they can tear up everything that you build up. So yes, we ask for things that we really can't handle if we got them. We just like the way it look from the outside, but it's a lot that goes with it.
What do you think about Black women and this, you know, notion, and we know the numbers, like the data is clear that there are not as many men that can fulfill the need, the demand of all the women who want to be married or, you know, want to be in relationships.
Except if you're in Atlanta.
Well, no, I mean, I won't touch that one. I'm going to leave that alone. Yeah, we're going to keep going on past it, because I could say some things about Atlanta. But
it's more women than men. That's all I was trying to say.
Right. The demand. I mean, you're saying the same thing, that the demand is higher for us, and we don't have as many options, which, by the way, I hear y'all on the rushing and the time clock, but I would say that as a 44-year-old woman, it does...
Don't do it.
I'm not saying that I'm rushing, because I certainly ain't going fast enough, so my rushing is snail. I'm doing snail movement, but, you know... At 44, and this is two different things, because I was getting ready to ask something else, but at 44, I do feel like the 26, 27, 28-year-old woman is more in demand, if you will, from some of the men that I might be interested in, right? And so at 44, my options are getting, so there's already a high demand, low supply. Then you go to your age group and how and whether or not you are in demand, that it kind of like it's like I'm in a declining pool. Oh, you don't agree with me?
No, I don't agree with you. I think that we just got to change where we go and where we look. I mean, every woman says the same thing. You also have another deficit. You're very well known. And so there are many men who are intimidated to step up to you because you are well known and you are influencer and because of what you do. So you've got two negatives, you know, in that are going for you, you know, in your mind. It's just one. But, you know, a lot of men won't step up to you because of who you are. But I disagree with you. You haven't met all the men in the world. You haven't met all the men that's around.
Yeah, how do you meet all the men in the world, Bishop, when you live in one place?
Well, okay, so I wrote a book about preparing and positioning for the right one, right? Mm. And it talks about Ruth and Esther. I mean, Ruth and Naomi, how Ruth was prepared by Naomi. And one day she left home and went in Boaz's field. She didn't go looking for him. He stumbled upon her. I don't think we go out enough. I don't think we ask God to send somebody, but we don't position ourselves in the right places. Just my opinion. I think that we stay in our little circle. We stay in our little group. We stay in our little, you know, cubicle, and we're waiting for God to send somebody knock on the door and say, hey, I'm the right one. I just think all of us, including me, I stay in my little, you know, tribe, in my little circle, and don't go out. And so, you know, I disagree with you. I think you got to get out more. I think a woman that's 44 is just as pleasing to a man as a woman that's 26. I think that's some of the stuff that we play in our psyche. Again, the time clock is running out, and I don't think that's fair to yourself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a pool for everybody. Sometimes you're just looking in the wrong pool. You know
that's
what I'm saying?
All I was saying.
You got to find that's another pool. But
he summed up what I said. It's the wrong pool.
It's just the wrong pool. You know,
didn't say nothing. Hello.
she know. Look at her. She know.
I'm agreeing with you too much, bro.
I'm trying to tell you, man.
I'm okay with
it. The truth is the truth. The truth gonna set you free, man. But the reality of the situation, we have this ideology now where everybody's looking for their Coretta. You know, I hear a lot of men say they're looking for a Coretta. Is that real right now?
I don't
know
about a lot of men. Jonathan Majors
said
it.
Well, he's not the only person that's saying it.
Oh, well, maybe in your world, because I ain't heard
Fabulous
no other men say they're looking for Coretta. They looking for
Fabulous
Bernie.
Said it
they
in
looking
the
for Bernice Burgess, as far as I know. They want the body, boom, bam, boom, boom. And she bad. Bernie, woo, she a bad chick.
What's a help for all of us, and it hurts us at the same time, and that's social media. The image of what we want, many times, especially men, is what we see on social media, and want versus need is very important. We want what's not good for us. We want what's, you know, I went through that season in the last relationship. I wanted something altogether different than the man that I am. And so while what I wanted wasn't what I needed, and here's the crazy part about it. I knew it, but I still, you know, went into another pool that was out of my league, because I really probably was protesting everything that I've had in the past. I just said a whole lot right there. But a lot of times we have to go for what it is that we really need, not what we want. You know, a lot of women want 6'3", 2'4", and, you know, that may not be what you need, because what you want, we look at the aesthetics, we look at the way a person looks. What do you need when the looks fade away? What do you need when everything starts sagging? What do you need when things don't get up no more? What is it you need as a partner? Because, you know, as you age and get older, you want somebody that you can talk to and hold conversation with, somebody that's going to help, going to take care of you. And so we gotta deal with that want versus what we need. And many times we miss out on what we need because of what we want. There's a lot of people that have missed out on good people because of what they want and not what they need.
We're getting ready to wind down, but since you mentioned when it can't get up anymore, how important do you think sex...
I also said sagging too, but you want to go on that reserve.
Oh, sagging. Well, no, I mean, yeah, that's true. Well, I don't know, because nowadays...
You see what she zeroed in on?
Listen. All I'm saying is nowadays, the way that people, both women and men, are trying to get in shape and being healthier, people are looking better for a longer time, but that getting up piece or just being sexually, you know, feeling the desire for sex, that's not something that you can work out to get. You got, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Yes,
I guess you
can
take Viagra.
Yes, you can.
You can work out enough.
I don't know about
to...
a woman, but a man can. Matter of fact, the more you work out, the more endurance you have, the more vitality.
Okay.
So I guess
increases.
As time goes on, people become, you know, we're able to have more endurance, as you've said. But I just want to know, how important is sex in your world in terms of what you're seeing? We asked Kendra the same thing, and she said that older women are not as concerned with having sex. They're more concerned with money. So what do you think about, you know, as you're giving
coaching? I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think older women are not concerned.
What's older? What's older? What's that number?
Maybe 50s, mm-hmm. 40s, 50s.
I think sex is important. Yeah, definitely it's important. But from my perspective, it's a mental thing first. Like, I need to feel safe and feel like my mental needs. Like, I need to be in a relationship with somebody that I feel like helps me, you know, helps me just get better, think better and be
believe
more
it or
creative.
Not, that's also for younger women. You know, I do a thing Monday, Wednesday, Friday on Clubhouse, and we talk for hours. That's not just your age bracket. Younger women are catching a hold of that. They want to be stimulated in their mind before they even get there. So that's a women's thing, period. Not just your age bracket. It's 20s, 30s, because my demographic is from early 20s to like 50s. And it's all women. The women that I talk to on a regular basis, that's a part of the community that I do on When the Right One Comes, it's all ages. They're not just, you know, they're not just giving it up. You got to reach their mind. And I'm glad that women have gotten to that point.
Right.
That it's not that easy. You have to stimulate my mind.
Let me ask you. Does that mean that as women, we need to be more agreeable to our men having sex with multiple women to meet their desires and their needs? Because, you know, some women just, they don't even really like sex that much, right? And then you meet a guy and he's in his prime and he likes you, but he's like, I want to do this relationship, but I need to be able to have sex elsewhere. How do you feel about that?
I think if a woman is not for that, you're compromising, and I'm not for compromise. Just to get one man to stay when there's a man that will be okay with the sex drive that you have, because there are some men that would be okay with that. I'm not for compromising just because his sex drive. Some men I don't care what you do. You can have it every day, all day long. They're just a dog. All right? They want it all the time. They hump. They want to hump all the time. So you're never going to fulfill a salacious appetite. All right? That's why they're cheating. A lot of times, a woman don't have to do nothing. She can be faithful at home, but he's still going to cheat because it's nothing but the dog in him. He hasn't gotten the dog out of him. And some men never do, no matter what they say. So you're dealing with it. But I think you're compromising by saying, I'm going to allow you to do that because I can't. And you're suck. That's where value comes in. You're devaluing yourself.
Sorry.
All right. Thinking that that's the only man. I'm done. I'm going to say this. Louis Vuitton is one of my favorites. Louis Vuitton is the only one that don't go on sale. They don't have a outlet. You don't see discount unless you're going to go upstairs somewhere in New York, and that's not the real thing. They never go on sale. They get rid of them before they discount them. Gucci, Prada, you'll find outlets, everybody. Louis Vuitton is the only one. We need to have the women. A lot of women need to have the mentality of Louis Vuitton. I'm not going on sale. This is not aftermarket. Huh? The price is already there. If anything, Louis Vuitton goes up so many percents every few months. Mm. That's how a woman needs to value herself. That comes from not valuing yourself and thinking this is the only man coming. And again, your time clock is running out and I got to get a man, need a man, want a man, find a man, give me a man. No, don't devalue yourself. That's my opinion on that.
Let me give a perspective. Because I think relationships are different for different people, right? You might have a woman that you might be a man, right? That can't satisfy your woman sexually, right? But she does everything else for you, right? She might complete you in every other way, but sexually she doesn't, she's not, I mean, you're not able to satisfy her sexually, right? So I think relationships have different dynamics. And I think when we hold one thing too high in regard, then we might lose out on everything else. And I'm not just saying it from a man's perspective. It could be from a woman's perspective as well. You know, and I think you might have a person who 99% of everything is perfect, but she has something else that she does that you don't actually like. I don't know if that's settling.
You have to figure out what thing of that 99, what 1% or 10% are you willing, because everybody comes with baggage. Everybody comes with something. That's why some people are still single, because they're looking for the perfect partner. Mm. You're not going to find the mm-hmm. perfect partner. Mm-hmm. But what you have to do while you're single is figure out, what are my boundaries? Boundaries are not to be moved. Mm. All right?
That
what are your
sense.
Boundaries? And then you stick to that. And then my last book is called Compatibility Factor. Who are you compatible to? Mm-hmm. All right?
I've done some of the workbook. I've actually
Look at you.
Filled out a few That's questions. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you, Bishop. As we close on this, it was a little overwhelming. I had to put it down. Because,
are you serious?
Yeah, because it was requiring me to think too much about me. And I just didn't feel like doing that at the time.
I've
just
done wasn't my
in
work.
The mood. I wasn't in the mood to see me.
But that's what you're supposed to be doing while you're single, Tamika. Mm.
But I just figured I'll just stay single. Don't even worry about it. Because if I gotta dig into all this right here, just don't forget it. Forget
it. Do the work. That's what you're supposed to do while you're single. Mm. Thank you for saying that. Do the work while you're single. What do I do while I'm single? Do the work on you. That's why you're single. Time enough to do the work on you.
Well,
you done dropped some gems today.
You sure have.
You out here preaching again.
Preaching in a different way. Thank you so much, yes. Bishop, for coming on and talking with us. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, my
brother. Enjoyed you all. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Take care. Bishop Davis is funny.
Yes, man.
He's like Kendra too. It's, you know what? You need a little bit of comedy in order to be online talking to people all the time and keep people interested, because both of them are hilarious.
Listen, he was raw.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? He was very real. And that's what it is. And when we talk about, a lot of times in relationships, people act like things are taboo to talk about, but these are real life things. And if we're not talking about the real situations, then what are we talking about?
I should have asked him, how do you, as a woman or man, anybody, open up the conversation about not being pleased sexually? Like, what's the right way not to bruise somebody so bad that now every day they're like, you know, every time you have sex, the person is like, feel, because, you know, once you put that in a person's mind, it's hard for them to function going forward. So I wonder if he has tips on how would you approach someone and say, I'm actually not satisfied because I've been lying about what, or I've been faking orgasms my whole life.
Very, very crazy. But speaking of that, it brings me to my I don't get it. It's kind of something that really bothered me. This guy, mm-hmm. academics, I really just don't like. I just don't like his content, and one of the things he talks about is just, I think it's so detrimental to the culture. Somebody sent it to me, like two people sent it to me, and they were so angry. And it was him talking about Biggie. And he was saying that he believes Biggie was gay.
Wow. Damn.
And he went on and
wow,
and,
I never, it is nothing about Biggie that I ever thought
was
gay.
And it was so disrespectful.
Look at Janet's face.
It was so disrespectful to me. Like, this is a man who,
first of all, he's dead.
He's a dead man. He has children. He has a wife. Like he, that wasn't something that he ever said. Nobody around him ever said. And for me, it's like, how do we constantly allow people like that into this culture that can spew shit like that just for views? What would make you think it was okay to say that? What would make you think that him, his son, and his daughter listening to that, and people who love him and friends that he have, like, why would you think that was something okay to say? And why do we constantly allow him the space to say shit like that? Why aren't people saying, somebody like that, we got to completely separate ourselves from? Like, this is where we at. This is where we at, where people can, you know, defame people who are legends in our culture, legendary people in our culture. And nobody's checking that. Ain't nobody saying nothing. Nobody going to say, you know what, we got to, he can't even be around us because it's detrimental to this culture. So, you know, that was something.
What is the culture? Because the reason why I'm asking the question, what is the culture? Is because I think we live in a time where, I mean, last week you were just talking about Sexy Red going to the school smelling like weed. We live in a time where
anything goes, right?
You know, a lot of things are happening that we've never seen before, or we at least have developed to a place where it's broadcasted. So, because I think there's always been an academics type of person. It's always been, you know, people who are in my judgment, sort of bringing down the culture, if you will, right? The culture, whatever that means. But those people now are celebrated and they are provided with big platforms. So that makes it different. And I wonder if we can still consider the culture to be what we once knew. Sometimes I feel like we live in the past, mm-hmm. right?
I don't believe that.
Like, we're living.
I believe this.
I think so, because things are not the same. We are not the same as our parents. There were things that we did that our parents were like, what the hell is that?
No,
right?
And I
like
get
over
that.
Time,
but there was always a certain, there's always a certain value, right? There's always certain level. Respect doesn't diminish. It doesn't change. Disrespect is disrespect. Disrespect back then is disrespect now. I don't care what era you are. There's certain things that if you violated a man that was dead back in the 80s, it was a problem for somebody. In the 70s, it was a problem. You didn't try to diminish the value of somebody who wasn't here. It's always been that. So it doesn't change now. It just doesn't. We're not accepting disrespect and devaluing of our culture because it's a different era. Like, and we get to dictate with the era because we're raising our kids, right? So as we grown people, we're raising our kids like, this is not okay. Mm. We're teaching our kids what respect is. We're teaching them about values and morals and all those things. Now, what they do outside of those things, you know, how they venture off and decide, you know what, I want to be free in this. But disrespect is disrespect.
Well, yeah, okay, so let's let's delve into that, because I agree with you. Disrespect is disrespect. But I also understand that the ideas or the ideology that we have around what we want to see in society, like a lot of other people have different perspectives of that. And now we're accommodating all of it playing out again right here on our phones. So it's not that some of these things were not happening. It's that you didn't hear about it, right? Like you didn't know that.
But they weren't even accepted though. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, that's not true because... That's not true. I don't know that Wendy Williams sat on the radio and talked about, I don't know, you know, said bad things about people who died. But there was a time when Wendy Williams was really seen as a problematic figure.
But she was seen as a
problem. In black culture. People didn't like Wendy
Williams.
But
what I get it. And I'm trying to say there was always her gossip. She was gossiping. Right. And there was people that
was
checking.
And she was saying people was gay and people were on drugs and people were... And sometimes it was true and sometimes it wasn't.
But then there was people checking her.
So,
It's
not true that there's nobody checking it, because I have seen you talk about academics. I've seen other individuals who are big
names.
Listen
to me. Wendy was in a time, and it has been people like that. There was Wendy, there was Star. When Star did the shit about Left Eye passing, he got off the radio. Mm. We got you out of here. Like, you can't do this no more. You understand what I'm saying? There's always been a limit. At what point do y'all realize that this shit, it don't make no sense no more? You know what I'm saying? Like, and thing is, you embolden him, so he just goes further and further.
Wow. I don't know anything about academics, like, other than I've heard him say some very disrespectful things to and about women, and I just don't appreciate it. But I don't know much about him because it's not my world. I don't focus on it. I'm like one of those people that you said. Once I learned that he was disrespectful to women, it's like, boom, wall down. Soon as you see come up on my page for any reason, next. Don't even let you get the play on my socials. Other people are not like that. But I will say this, that a lot of it is about consumption. And we have to recognize that as a community, that we have the ability to make or break people. We say we want better content, but then when you look at the views of folks who are out there trying to put out better content, we don't always support it. And this is not just black folks. This is all types of people. We are driven and drawn to the drama and the fighting or whatever, and folks who are really out there with content that is helpful to us, we don't always support it. So I think really it's not.
I'm saying it's not even him. It's everybody. Kanye. It's did you us. See what Kanye said
about Michelle Obama?
Like, why would you like what?
But I mean, again, that's another person that Kanye has said some things that I agree with 1,000,000%. But I don't even pay attention anymore enough to know whether I agree with it or not. I just kind of, I said my piece, and then I just turned it off. So I think the way that we can deal with it.
Why we celebrate lame shit in this culture so much. Yeah. Like,
I wish you would stop saying in this culture.
No, it's in the culture.
Because I don't know if it's in the culture or if it's just people in their worlds. Social media is a fishbowl, right? There's been things that happened in my life that I thought everybody knew about it because on social media, everybody was talking. And then when I go out into the regular world, I will never, ever forget that when we was in some controversy, people would say, oh, it was when we were being lied on about, the BLM stuff and whether or not we used and profited off of a woman's son, a child that died in the most horrific way, and she was a part of spewing lies against us as a mother. And I was really feeling bad because all of the mothers that I work with and the people and the families that we're close to, they know, and they kept trying to reassure us, we know that you're not that. I feel like social media, yes, it is big, but it also is a fishbowl of people, and we have
to
realize that it's not real life, but it does have real impact. So when you say the culture, I guess I'm just in a place in my life where my culture, I'm trying to live it outside of the internet.
Sounds like a plan. We've come to the end of another episode. Dope episode.
TMI,
dope.
TMI.
We had a lot of energy there. It was a lot, you know, sometimes we got to get a little energy out.
Bonding
of the sexes. Shout out to Bishop Greg Davis. Excellent interview.
Bishop Davis out here talking, man.
I'm going to have to tune in a little bit because he gave us a little something.
Yeah, he's good. He's actually really good if you are someone, you know, who's looking for, even if you're looking to be entertained, because sometimes his stuff is entertaining. But he does have a word every day about relationships and about relating to other people. And so you should definitely check him out.
I definitely will, man. Make sure you tune in TMI_show on Instagram. Give us some ideas of shows you want. That's going to be the next shows you want, because we want to be number one. No. We want to stay number one, because we are number one. Jesus. We want to stay number one. Don't laugh. I'm not going to always be right. Tamika's not going to always be wrong, but we will both always, and I mean always, be authentic.
Peace.
Salute. That's how we own it. That's how we own it. That's how we own it. Check out the video version of TMI.
Every single Wednesday on iWoman.tv.
That's how we own it!
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here, and with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season three of the Shondaland series on Netflix, then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Everyone in our country has a voice. It's something that says not just where you come from, but who you are. Welcome to NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of podcasts and a celebration of the hosts in journalism who've always spoken truth to power. Our voices are as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as the Black experience, and stories should never be about us without us. Find NPR Black Stories, Black Truths on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.